Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina along with George Kurtz, Sean Engel producing our show. George, how's it going, buddy?
It's going, Joe. It's going. If only we had things to talk about today.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, I don't know what to... Should we talk about, Game of Thrones, maybe Avengers Endgame? What do you think? What do you think the main topic of conversation should be today?
Well, I guess after what happened to LeSean McCoy, you can't talk about Avengers Endgame, right?
That'd
be bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, and I accidentally saw what he tweeted because I guess somebody that I follow might have liked his tweet. So, I'm hoping I misunderstood it, but this son of a gun. I haven't seen it yet. I was telling Sean before the show what to see. Believe it or not, we were thinking about seeing Endgame, but of course, pre-sales and you just can't get a seat this weekend. So ended up seeing Captain Marvel. Felt like putting a big L on my forehead because, it was about it was like in one of the smallest theaters within the theater complex that we go to. And it's just all the losers that couldn't get in to see Endgame.
Wow.
Which is going to see Captain Marvel. It was actually a decent movie, though, and it had a little bit that led into Endgame. You don't need to see it in order to see Endgame, but that's the story. It was either that or see Shazam. So Shazam, maybe later on we'll see. But, I was a big loser watching Captain Marvel while all the cool people were watching Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either way, so it didn't affect me. I'll say this, though. I said this yesterday with Cam on Weekend Fantasy Update. I don't know if I feel bad for the people who got spoiled. I mean, this is like, when I watch Game of Thrones, I don't have HBO, so I have to watch it on HBO Go. And I can't watch it at 9 o'clock. Right. When it's on, I have to wait a couple of hours, maybe even the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm smart enough, Joe, to know not to be on social media
during that time
because I know there are going to be spoilers here.
Mm-hmm.
Great that I wouldn't expect LeSean McCoy to be my spoilers. Maybe I would have been smart enough not to be on social media until I saw it.
So I'd have to stay off of social media for several days because, like I said, I wasn't smart enough to pre-order my tickets. So I'm not seeing it this weekend, so what am I going to do?
Gotta be a hermit.
Yeah, but
in this day and age, you do. Someone's gonna say something about everything.
Right. And we'll talk a little Game of Thrones later on. Big episode tonight, right? Big battle scene. I was talking to Sean before the show. Really looking forward to tonight. So it should be very interesting.
You would think. Give away more. Well, I guess you haven't seen it by now, then.
It's a week old, so it's not a spoiler anymore.
Yeah, last week's ended with the walkers pretty much right at at Winterfell. And, but I can see them being a teasing a little bit tonight, though, and then going back to Cersei. What she was doing over the past couple of hours or days or whatever it was.
Right.
So that wouldn't shock me either if maybe the fight scene is more next week. But
I don't know. They'd really be stringing it out if they waited.
But that's why it wouldn't shock me.
That's why.
What are they, 4 episodes left?
Something like that. And I think tonight is an hour and a half. I think the rest of the episodes might be longer than usual because there's fewer episodes. So, yeah, I think there might be 4. Is there a total of 7? Maybe Sean could chime in and let us know.
I think there's a total of 6.
Oh, 6. Okay.
I think it's 6.
Oh. It's terrible because it's almost over. It's terrible.
It is almost over. Yep. Listen, I'm a fan.
A season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan. I don't think I won't watch it. I can't watch it live tonight. I won't. But
right.
I hope to watch it at some point before the night is over.
I'll text you and let you know what happened.
Oh, you're great, Joe.
As it happens. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And, So we're talking Game of Thrones, we're talking Avengers, but obviously the big news of the past few days is the NFL draft. We're going to be talking a lot about that. I want to get into a lot of baseball talk, too, as well. I think there's some interesting options for us on the waiver wire, a pitcher that the Angels are going to call up for his first start on Tuesday. Very interested in acquiring him in a league or two that I'm a little light on pitching, so we'll talk about that, but So the draft is over, George. Big news. We'll just talk about some big news, and maybe you could tell me if anything strikes you as well. And if we can, we'll try to maybe break down the divisions, just like a glance over some of the picks that were made. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it in the next 3 hours, but we'll do the best we can to get to as many teams and as many relevant picks as possible. But obviously, you and I are NFC East guys, right? You're a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm a New York Giants fan. Daniel Jones, big story, right? I personally was shocked that the Giants passed up on Josh Allen, who was gift-wrapped and given to them at pick number 6. They were a team that only sacked the quarterback 30 times. They traded away Olivia Vernon, but got a decent offensive line player in Kevin Zeitler from the Browns. But when they announced that they were picking Daniel Jones at number 6, I was just dumbfounded. And now the news today that I heard, I was watching a clip where Gettleman, the GM for the Giants, is saying that he knew for a fact that if he hadn't taken Jones there, the Redskins and who was the other team? The Broncos, I believe. There were two teams, he said, that were going to take him. For a fact, he knew that. So what did you think about that whole fiasco?
Well, that this is cover your ass part of the show.
Sure.
It's what it is. I mean, the Broncos were not taking a quarterback at 10. All right, that was pretty much well known before the draft that they weren't going to do that. That was more of a smokescreen because they picked up Flacco. I mean, if they were taking a quarterback at 10, they would have taken it at 20. All right, there were quarterbacks there. They could have gotten Drew Lock. They would have taken a chance. They took Drew Lock in the second round because the value was too good and it was just there. So they had decided to pick him. Redskins, I mean, Gabe likes to point out that the Haskins family was wearing all Redskins gear before the draft, the day before. And if the Redskins were so worried about a quarterback, they would have traded up in 15. They saw how the draft was playing out there. The Giants threw a wrench in things when they took a quarterback early. You would have seen other quarterback teams panic at that point. Because no one saw Giants taking 6, and yet they didn't panic. So once again, it's cover your ass part. I mean, the Giants should have taken the pass rusher at 6, and if you wanted Daniel Jones, you trade up from 17. You had a ton of draft picks you could have done that. If you believed you had to get ahead of the Redskins at 15, or you had to get ahead of the Broncos at 10, that's when you do it. So I think it was a mistake. I don't think it was the huge mistake everybody imagines, because once again, they would have taken it at 17, no one would have complained.
So you told me that I wouldn't have. Yeah.
Right. You said a difference of 11 picks. And if you would have traded down to, let's say the Broncos didn't take him at 10, but you wanted to get ahead of the Redskins, you would have traded down to Miami at 13 or Green Bay at 12, whatever it is. And it costs you a third round pick or whatever it is. No one complains about that either because you got your quarterback. That being said, you've heard me a million times. The NFL is a passing league. You have to get your quarterback, and you've got to take your swings. I don't blame the Cardinals for what they did, which is draft Rosen last year and then draft Murray this year. You got to take your swings. I don't blame Gettleman for finally taking their quarterback. But this also begs the question, you took a worse quarterback than what was available last year, too. When you took Barkley. Not saying Barkley. Barkley's a Hall of Fame player. He's going to be a great player. But Donald is a better quarterback.
Yes,
I don't think
absolutely.
Much doubt about that. Donald's a better quarterback, and it makes you wonder, does Gettleman have any idea what he's doing? Last year, you stay away from the quarterback. This year, you take a lesser quarterback. You can find a running back in the second, third round. We saw it all yesterday through a draft. You cannot find a quarterback. It's much more difficult. Yet Gettleman sort of poo-pooed it last year, but then this year goes back to that philosophy. It was weird. Wow, it's been weird how his whole offseason's been. The players he's traded, he traded Beckham. I get it, he's a cancer, he's a locker room problem, and he certainly is and all that. But he's still a fantastic, great player. Then you sign Golden Tate, who doesn't seem to make sense for that offense, for what you want to run there. So it's been weird. And then he has the nerve to say that, Jones won't start for 3 years, we'll do it like Aaron Rodgers. That was under a different CBA back then. You don't have that anymore where you can wait 3 years. That's certainly not going to happen. Mm-hmm. He may not play this year. Maybe. You know, we're certainly starting no later than next year. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think he'll play this year as well. You don't have a choice in this day and age. Elway said the same thing with Flacco and Locke. Once again, not going to happen. Flacco gets this year, maybe. Locke's the quarterback next year. Just the way the CBA is designed to do. So, the quarterbacks are always the most newsworthy things, and nothing's changed here.
They're fun to talk about, yeah.
It's just that Gettleman keeps saying one thing and doing another.
Yeah, and I was talking to Mike Blewett on the FST yesterday morning, and it's such a shame that the Daniel Jones era has to start this way, and the kid has to answer questions. Like I was watching Friday night, I believe it was ESPN, asked him about how he felt about all the negative publicity regarding his being chosen at number six, and the kid has to answer this kind of a question. And then for Gettleman, you alluded to him saying, you know, who knows? Maybe, it'll be a Aaron Rodgers situation where, Jones might not start for 3 years. So he said people took it to mean that he said that it's going to happen. He's just saying, who knows? And you brought up a very good point about the CBA. And personally, with the way that Gettleman's running this team, I don't think he's going to be around in 3 years if it happened to see Jones there. But it's going to be an interesting year for the Giants. Eli Manning is not going to be doing his weekly interviews with Mike Frances on WFAN. So, I thought that was a little telling where the poor guy, Eli, every week, because the Giants have been so bad, having to go over how poorly the team played and trying to say all the right things. And then what is he going to be asked every week on his radio appearance? Well, what do you think about Jones? Is it time? You know, if he has a bad game, it's always going to they're always going to bring up whether or not it's time for Daniel Jones to move into the starting slot at quarterback. But, Giants, it's going to be an interesting year. I had tweeted out saying, hey, I wouldn't have had a problem if the Giants would have, offered that second-round pick to the Cardinals for Josh Rosen, and we've spoken about it together on this show where, hey, if it doesn't work out, there's a strong quarterback class coming out next season, but hey, it didn't happen. Josh Rosen, another guy, and you alluded to, not having a problem with the Cardinals doing what they did. It's a new regime there, right? So I don't think Rosen got a fair share of, a fair shake there. And I'm rooting for him with the Dolphins, and Dolphins waited it out and played it beautifully, right? But look, Cliff Kingsbury, I didn't realize it, but they've known each other since Kyler Murray was 15 years old. There's a relationship there. He's going to be running this air raid offense that he thinks that Kyler Murray is going to have a better chance of running. So, they drafted a couple of wide receivers in order to run that, help run that thing, because you need four of them. I was reading up on it. It's kind of like a variation of the run and shoot, two on the outside, two on the inside. Andy Isabella, Hakeem Butler they drafted, Christian Kirk coming off of a broken foot from last season, should be ready for the OTAs. So it's going to that's going to be an interesting situation as well. And as for Drew Lock, I mean, Elway had kind of intimated, given hints that was his guy anyway. And, like you said, able to wait until the second round. So we'll see. What'd you think about Dwayne Haskins? You alluded to him and where he ended up with Washington. I think it's a good landing spot for him. I know their wide receivers aren't that great, right? But it's good offensive line. I kind of like, at least in that first round with them going with Haskins and Sweat, a lot of people walking away from Sweat, Montez Sweat, because of that heart issue that came up. But what do you think about Haskins, where he landed up?
Oh, I thought the Redskins had a great draft, or certainly a great early part of the draft with what they did. I mean, you mentioned it. You think about it. You got your quarterback, and Haskins at one point we thought was – everybody knew Murray was going to be the number one, right? So that was another. But everybody thought that Haskins might be the next guy. And you got him at 15. Didn't have to trade up to do it. Fantastic job there. Mm-hmm. Maybe he hits, maybe he doesn't. And we know what Haskins is more in the Roethlisberger mode. Mm-hmm. Has a rocket for an arm. not the most mobile person on the planet. He's not a running guy at all. He's mm-hmm. going to have to learn to sort of sidestep rushes and stuff like that, like Ben has done. Right? Yeah. Ben is still good at avoiding the rush, but he's not going to be someone who's going to run around and make yardage there. So that sort of thing. So we have to be aware of that. But I like what the Redskins did. They trade up. They got Sweat. They got a running back, too. I don't think I would have drafted the running back. For the Redskins. I mean, you got Geis, you got AP there. Now mm-hmm. you seem to have a lot of cooks in the kitchen there. You mm-hmm. know, if you're going to draft a running back, then I wouldn't have signed AP. You know, I think most teams have to have two running backs. I do. But I wouldn't have done that.
Does it make you wonder about Geis coming off his injury?
All reports are that he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yes, it does. But all reports mm-hmm. are he's fine. So maybe the Redskins know something we don't. Maybe just being overly cautious, maybe the value is too good. I get all of that. I don't think I would have gone that direction. Not for a Redskins team that has other problems.
All right, more football talk, baseball talk as well. Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I really don't want to talk because I want to just listen to the song, George.
It's
classic 70s
tune.
Funk. All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galliano, George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince. Sean Anglin producing our show. Picking out some great songs to bring us out of commercial. Great songs taking us into commercial. Just doing an overall fantastic job. We're talking NFL draft. We'll be talking some fantasy baseball as well. Can't ignore that. Like I said, interesting week on the waiver wire, I believe. So we'll talk about that in future segments. Let's get to you. We were talking some quarterback news regarding the NFL draft. One guy I'll bring up, Will Greer from West Virginia. Panthers took him with pick 100. Basically, from what I've been reading about with his draft profile, good quarterback, but it seems that more that the heart and the head is willing and he's willing to take the shot with the deep passes. Skills might not be there yet, needs to work on getting the ball out of his hands a little quicker. But the Panthers taking Will Greer, do you think that's more of a just like, hey, you know, let's, you know, not get caught with our pants down and have a decent, you know, backup quarterback that we could eventually maybe develop because of Cam Newton's recent injury history? I mean, what do you think this pick says about Cam Newton and the Panthers going forward?
Well, it may not say anything about Cam. I mean, some organizations might just believe in taking a quarterback.
Right, that's right, yeah.
Why not develop one? The Green Bay Packers still believe in that for years. Mm-hmm. You always take a quarterback, see if you can develop one. If you develop it, great. You know, then you got two choices. You use the backup or use the guy you can trade for better value down the line. If he doesn't develop, well, hey, it's another draft pick that doesn't work out. I mean, mm-hmm. hell, that happens all the time, right? Not a big deal here. So it could be that. I think it is more the way the Panthers realize, you know, Cam is getting hurt. You know, his style of play, it's leading to a lot of injuries now. He's not Superman. He's not. Yeah, he's going to be hurt almost every year now. The one problem is this. Cam's still going to take most of the reps. You know, as we see with a lot of quarterbacks, you know, when they feel threatened, even ones that shouldn't feel threatened, Tom Brady was threatened by Jimmy Garoppolo, right? He was threatened by him. That's one of the reasons why Garoppolo's not there. He was just threatened by him.
Right.
And also that they're taking all the reps. Because they didn't want that guy to get any work there. So how's a young quarterback going to develop? Do you have that kind of system in place in your organization to develop a quarterback without getting reps? I mean, who's your quarterback coach? The offensive coordinator? How much time are they going to spend with him? All this goes into it because you really do have to develop this guy. So I wonder about that as well. But I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't think it's a bad idea at all. I don't know if I would draft a quarterback every year like the Packers at one time did, but I think I would certainly treat – I wouldn't ignore the position in the draft. Right. You know, just because I got a you know, this such and such starter, I'm not going to draft any other quarterback. I don't think I would do that either. Like I said, so many of these draft picks are going to be busts.
Sure.
And we're never going to hear from him again. So what makes the quarterback position any different? If it's a bust, it's a bust. If he ends up clicking, then you got at least you got a cheap backup, and maybe someone you can trade down if he really truly develops here. Right. But the thing else I wanted to say, there are so many lies that are going on still right now. Everyone's defending their picks. You mentioned Elway said, "Oh, I got the guy I always wanted." You know, no, you didn't. Because if you wanted him, you would have taken him at 20. Mm-hmm. There's no way in hell you got the guy. You waited 20 more picks to take him at 10 in the second round. No way! All right? That's a complete lie. Because there's no way you've taken that chance to let 21 other teams go ahead of you. Because I'll let you know it's a lie, by the way, is if he wanted him, he also would have traded back into the first round because then you get the fifth-year option. And everybody loves that with a quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And he didn't do that. So, no, he didn't get the guy he wanted. He took him because the value was there at 20. Mm-hmm. All right, that's the only reason why he did that. I love when they say that. That's why all these teams that would have traded him, Denver would have traded up. They would have taken Lock over Daniel Jones. Yeah, they would have done that then. Because once again, if they wanted a quarterback at 10, you take it because of that fifth-year option.
Right.
You know, that lets you know that most of these teams are lying in about stuff like that. Everybody wants that fifth-year option while it's still around in the CBA.
Mm-hmm. Great points. Great points that you bring up. And also, just to add to your take on, you know, developing a quarterback, how many times do you see when, let's say, a backup quarterback has to come into a game or take over for, QB1 who's maybe hurt for a few weeks or whatnot, and he ends up having a better rapport with, let's say, if there's a wide receiver coming off of the practice team with him, because that's who he's been practicing with, that's who he's been throwing with. So you're right in terms of when you brought up before, you know, not getting any reps, you know, and specifically, you know, with the first team. So good stuff there. The Bengals got a guy, Ryan Finley, with pick 104 in round four. They've got 2 years left on the contract with Andy Dalton. This is a guy that, we talked about developing a quarterback. You know, who knows? This guy could be hit or miss. You know, and some of the profiles I'm reading, sounds like he might be better off, more looked at as a career backup guy, but you never know.
You do never know. It's nothing wrong with taking a quarterback. I mean, if I'm the Bengals, you probably should have taken a quarterback, a highly rated one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we all know what Dalton is at this point, right? I mean, he's average quarterback at best. He's not going to take you where you want to go. And at this point in the NFL, I mean, if you don't have a good quarterback, you're not going anywhere. You're just not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's what once again, you saw teams like the Cardinals take chances. You know, let's see what Murray can do now that we drafted Rosen last year. Look what the Dolphins have done. They trade for Rosen, right? They trade the second round pick for Rosen. And he's got pretty much a one-year trial period. It works out, okay. If it doesn't, the Cardinals are going to suck this year. Maybe they get two next year. They'll take a quarterback again.
Yeah, Dolphins,
You have to keep taking your swings. You just have to until you connect on it. If you don't have one, you're not going anywhere. That's why it's so important. That's why I land based on the Giants last year. You know, because, once again, you pass on when it was a quarterback-rich draft. You know, this quarterback draft really wasn't as rich. Next year, it's supposed to be rich again.
Yes.
You know, but you need the quarterback here. Now, I mean, I applaud them for taking the quarterback this year, but I just would have taken the better one last year. Yeah, so I don't think the Giants quite understood it. They went for the best player, which is old time thinking. You know, I listen, best player makes sense a lot of instances, but in this NFL, the way it is nowadays, if you don't have a quarterback, you really don't have a team.
Also, Gettleman, it seems like he's got that old school mentality of, you know, just running the ball down teams' throats, and that's not the way that the NFL works today. It's a passing game, right? So
every rule is designed for the passing game. They want points on the board.
So a couple of veteran quarterbacks saw their teams draft a quarterback. You mentioned Tom Brady and how he felt threatened with Garoppolo, and then now he's gone. The Patriots picked up Jarrett Stidman, Chargers also got a backup quarterback. Stidman from Auburn, by the way, seventh quarterback taken in the draft. And the Chargers, I mean, Easton Stick, Philip Rivers, 37 years old. They also have Tyrod Taylor. But, you know, it's not interesting, but I guess it just makes sense for these teams to have a backup in place. You know, Brady's not going to be there forever. And, you know, Philip Rivers, you know, like I said, still very effective, but 37 years old. And, you know, who knows, like you said, you know, sometimes you might be able to take one of these quarterbacks late and develop them into something. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on those two picks, Stidman and Stick?
Well, I don't really care about the picks. Well, if they develop, they develop. They don't matter anything for fantasy. But I do like the philosophy, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once again, you don't want to do what Dallas did after Aikman retired, right? Where they were lost for almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
They were just lost because they didn't have a quarterback. You want to have a plan in place. That's why it's good. I don't mind taking the quarterbacks. You know, even if it's a good pick, a first, second-round pick, I don't mind it. Now, once again, I might change my mind if you're a team that you think you're missing one piece. You know, it's the last piece of the puzzle to take this kid or someone with an incredible value. I get that. Then you got to do what you got to do. You play to win now. You know, you worry about next year. But you can't, even if you have a franchise quarterback, let's say if he's 25, that's one thing. But if he's 35, you can't keep ignoring the position. I mean, isn't it time? Everybody speculated that maybe Green Bay would take a quarterback, a good quarterback. Not the, you know, a guy you never heard of, the Irish fan never heard of, but a good quarterback. They didn't. But some people were speculating that because Aaron Rodgers is 35. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you bring him along slowly. You don't have to rush him then. And I think that does, once again, I think that makes some sense. I'm not saying Green Bay should have taken, Haskins at 12. I'm not saying that. But maybe in the second, third round, you do take that quarterback. And bring him along slowly. But a lot of it does go into what your starter feels. Tom Brady did feel threatened by Garoppolo. For whatever reason, it was silly. And the GOAT feels threatened. I mean, we're never going to lose your job to Garoppolo. And it was just silly what happened there, how he felt about that. But a lot of quarterbacks do, and all of a sudden, that's not good either. You know, mm-hmm. You don't really want that in the you don't want that going on in the locker room, and I guess people taking sides. And oh, we should go with this guy. I mean, it's silly. You know, no one's going to say that over Brady or over Rivers. We know these are your starting quarterbacks. But I don't blame organizations for looking ahead because I think that's how I would approach it. You know, I want to make sure that I'm set in 3 years when this guy does retire, or else I don't want to have to be worried about Tom Brady retires at the end of 21. Now at 21, I'm drafting a quarterback.
Right.
Well, that's
great
for you. Now you have no. That means you have no quarterback right now. Mm-hmm. Are you going to pray and get one off the free agent line? You're going to pay a Kirk Cousins and an incredible amount of money for a quarterback that's average or above, just a tick above average? I mean, for the way quarterbacks get paid right now, you really want to draft one and develop it.
So we talked about Josh Rosen now going to the Dolphins, and I thought the Dolphins played this out well. Do you think that Rosen gets the start? From day one, I mean, I would think he would, but and what do you think about the rest of their draft? I mean, the Dolphins such a team that just needed everything, but it looks like they had a nice mix of defense, offensive linemen, and then they took a running back with their last pick, Myles Gaskin, with their pick in the seventh round. Just overall, what do you think about the Dolphins?
I thought the Dolphins had a good, solid draft. I mean, listen, mm-hmm. They're a bad team, all right? But they have a truckload of draft picks next year, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm,
this
mm-hmm.
team may get better in a hurry. They may get better in a big hurry over the next couple of years, all these draft picks, assuming they don't screw them up. I thought they had a good draft. You mentioned how they played it right with Arizona. I mean, think about what was going on here. Arizona was just screwed. Absolutely screwed. Once the Giants took Jones at six and Haskins went 15 to the Redskins, the Cardinals were screwed. They had to be praying that after the Giants took Jones at six, they had to be praying that another team before the Redskins would take Haskins. It had to be. They had to be. Denver, please, Denver, take Haskins at 10. They didn't. Oh, my God. Cincinnati, any chance? No. Miami, come on. No, because they lost all their suitors. They lost all of their suitors. And then we knew they were that the Cardinals were talking to with the Dolphins, right? We knew they were before the second day started. We knew that was happening, that they had mm-hmm. talked during the afternoon, but they didn't consummate a deal. And this is pretty much the Cardinal Dolphins saying, well, let's see who falls to us at 15 and see if Locke falls to us. You know, that's what this was. And he did. And the Cardinal and Dolphins like, well, you know, we still don't want to give you a second-round pick. And the Cardinals, we insist on a second-round pick. okay, I'll get back to you. They trade the second round pick. They trade down. And they go back to the Cardinals. Okay, you can have this second round pick. You didn't say we couldn't trade down, and the Cardinals had no choice. The Dolphins could have said, third round pick then. You know, right, the Cardinals had no choice. There was no choice for the Cardinals. They could play the game all they wanted. That, you know what, we'll keep them both. No, you won't. Because that's not good for anybody. And that's not good for Rosen. And certainly not good for Murray either to have to answer all these questions. And the media going bananas about what's going on there. The Cardinals just, it was a game of musical chairs, and the music stopped, and they didn't have a chair. That's really what happened here. As for the Dolphins, I think they played it very well. Yeah, very well. I don't think there's any doubt that Rosen starts from day one, by the way. Because what this allows the Cardinals, the Dolphins to do, is you get a one-year, hey, let's take a look. 16 games, let's take a look. And if he's your man, that's fantastic. Because if he is the franchise quarterback and you think he is, well, that means the Dolphins are going to be a bad team. They'll be a top five worst team. So you get a top five pick next year. That means, A, if you it's quarterback-rich draft, maybe you can trade down if you don't need a quarterback. You know, and you get even more multiple picks. Or you get the best player available, whatever the player that happens to be next year, whether it's a running back, a defensive end, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. You get that player. Or, hey, Rosen, you know what? He's not a franchise quarterback. But you know what? You tried. You gave it a shot. Swung. Didn't work out. It was the right move to make. Well, then you take your franchise quarterback next year. This is like a great no-lose situation for the Dolphins. Plus, as far as quarterbacks go, they're paying him peanuts. Because the Cardinals are really the ones paying him. So this is I thought this was a great move by the Dolphins all around. I thought they had a fantastic draft.
Yeah. Just before we move off of Rosen, I'm rooting for the guy. Like I said earlier, I thought he got a raw deal. But, hey, it's a new regime, and totally understand that the Cardinals want to get their guy in there to run the offensive scheme that they're going to use this season. But I thought Steve Smith, I think works for the NFL Network, unfairly criticized Rosen, talking about it. I mentioned this with Blewett yesterday. He was giving him grief for unfollowing the Cardinals on Instagram and Twitter and all this stuff. And personally, I think that Rosen handled this perfectly. He kept quiet, and I was a little surprised too, I guess. And think about this guy that, had so much confidence, had that little chip on his shoulder when he was picked number 10 overall last year, saying, hey, there were 9 teams that made a mistake. So he's got a little spunk, and you want that in a leader. But he kind of just was quiet. And then I think he thanked the Cardinal fans on social media. So I'm rooting for this guy. But I think Steve Smith was a little out of line there.
A little. Steve Smith was an ass.
Yeah.
That's just one thing. Steve Smith would have had a heart attack if he was in this position. He'd have flipped out and gone bananas. Right? That's what he'd done throughout his career. This guy got into fights with his teammates. So, Steve Smith, shut the hell up. He would have flipped out about this. And if Rosen would have stayed there, he'd have gotten no chance at the starting job, by the way. None, zero, zero, zilch, nada. All right, so once again, that Steve Smith should know a lot better. I don't know what his point was. Was he playing to the masses here to say, oh, he should have – bull crap. When you act like what you would have done. All right, so I thought that was a
just trying to shock and draw attention to him. That's what Steve Smith was doing. in the couple minutes we have left before we go to commercial, you're a fan of the Cowboys, and there are a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans out there. What did you think about their draft? What they did this year.
I thought it was intriguing. Not how I would have gone with it. I would have taken the safety Thornhill at 58, their second round pick. That's the way I would have gone here. Not that I mind taking a defensive lineman. Once again, you win games on the line. And Dallas did lose a lot of linemen. Randy Gregory suspended again. David Irving retires because he can't stay off pot. I understand that as well. I just don't know if the value is there. I would have taken the safety. Dallas keeps ignoring this position. And yet one of the top ones was still there. That's how I would have gone after it. But and I don't think it was good. Don't think it was bad. I think it was an average draft. But I think they took strange. Got a good return guy. That could certainly help. Dallas was terrible at that last year. But not the direction I would have gone.
All right, we'll continue talking NFL draft as well as fantasy baseball. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Sean Engel, how do you feel he's playing a little air guitar in the control room? Reminiscing of his dad, the King. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Smoke on the water, fire in the sky. George Kurtz joining me this morning, talking a little NFL draft action. And just try to get through as many teams as we can. We're not going to be able to hit every team, but we've been talking NFC East, so why don't we stay there and tell me what you think about what the Eagles did with this draft. They got themselves with their first pick, offensive tackle Andre Dillard, a guy that could develop to a good pass blocker, but more fantasy relevant for what we what we're looking for. They picked up Miles Sanders with their second pick, running back out of Penn State. The Eagles like to use that running back by committee, so I'm interested to see what you think about Miles Sanders. And a lot of people are into this wide receiver, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, guy out of Stanford. Really doesn't have elite speed, but he has a knack. I was reading his profile of using his body, put himself in a good position to come down with contested balls. What do you think about what the Eagles did? Then they drafted a quarterback with their fifth pick.
Well, once again, you already said it. With Doug Peterson, he believes in running back by committee. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's something he believes in. Now, whenever we say that, I always wonder, well, does he truly believe in it, or he's just never had a true number one running back? He's had no choice but to go with it, because that's what he's had. You always have to look at that. But he generally believes in that. So the first thing, when Miles Sanders goes there, like, oh, well, so much for Jordan Howard, right? And the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
Well, what does this do with Jordan Howard now? Is Howard's going to be a short yardage goal line guy, which Sanders is a 20s guy? They'll have somebody else to catch the ball to the backfield, this sort of thing. It's a mess. It's just a mess. Where our fantasy owners, we don't like that, right? We really like clarity. And we don't have clarity now because Doug Peterson's history tells us one thing, and now they have all these backs. So what the hell's going on? First thing that went through my mind here, I was like, oh, God, what the hell are we going to do with this situation now? Yeah, we'll see how it plays out somewhat, but I imagine it's going to play out pretty much like I just said. Sanders be your 20s guy, Jordan Howell be your goal line guy, your short yardage guy, and, someone else will break out as far as catching passes out of the backfield, which means all their backs are just annoying. No one will be better than a running back two as far as fantasy is concerned, which is not surprising. I think, once again, in a draft, when in doubt, you take the big guys. You take offensive linemen, you take defensive linemen. We like the fact that, Carson Wentz should be better protected. Right? So that's good now. We like the fact that you can rush the pass rush, or you can stop the run, get the ball back to the offense. That's what we want. I like their draft. Once again, I didn't think it was spectacular. I thought it was a good, solid draft. I thought they took some luxury picks in some ways. But I thought, once you got to protect Carson Wentz, because you no longer have the luxury of having Nick Foles there, right, to fall back on if Wentz gets hurt. If Carson Wentz gets hurt this year, well, then your season's over. Like most teams, when we lose a starting quarterback, you can start looking forward to next season because it's done. So you want to protect them. Your offensive line was getting a little old, so always good to bring in somebody new here. I liked what they did. A good, solid draft. Not spectacular. I didn't think it was like, oh, my God, Philadelphia Eagles. Well, no one's going to beat them now. No, I don't see that. It all does come down to Carson Wentz. And we are here. Even Carson Wentz said, 10 days ago that he's not quite there yet? Interesting.
That's concerning.
That is concerning. Interesting. I think what we're all waiting for now, you mentioned Arcega-Whiteside. They drafted him. Okay, what's going on with Aguilar? We'd heard before we drafted, they'd be interested in trading him. Well, sure, I'd want to get rid of a $10 million paperweight too. you know. Mm-hmm. But that's not. No one was going to pay him for that. They acquired DeSean Jackson to be your deep threat, right? Get the safeties out of there. And so I like what they're building here. But is Arcega Whiteside going to take over for Aguilar? You know, it's interesting because I assume DeSean Jackson plays on the outside. Right. And Jeffrey, we know he's going to play on the outside, which means Aguilar goes back to playing the slot, which is what he was so good at 2 years ago. So what does that leave for Whiteside? Hollins is actually a decent wide receiver as well. What his role seems to get diminished maybe to almost nothing now there. And he's still got Zach Ertz, of course. So it's intriguing here. A lot of moving pieces. I mean, you look at it fantasy-wise, outside of Zach Ertz, I don't know if there's anybody else I'm dying to get here. You know, Jeffrey, okay, wide receiver two, maybe DeSean Jackson, once again, that hit-or-miss type of guy, a better best ball probably than a, you know, week-in, week-out guy. Aguilar, I don't know what to think about Aguilar. You know, Whiteside, you know, I mean, the running backs you already mentioned, you know, Howard, Sanders, Clement, Smallwood, and that's a mess. Josh Adams is there, too. That's a complete mess. So, you know, it's funny. I think this team's going to score points, but fantasy-wise, Ertz is probably the only one I'm dying to get right now.
Yeah, yeah, good, very good point there. All right, so let's move back into the AFC East. We talked a little bit about the Dolphins. Why don't we talk about the Patriots? And they took N'Keal Harry. I believe he was the second wide receiver taken in the draft. And some people were a little surprised. They usually don't go for a wide receiver that early. But they had tons of draft picks. They also, in the third round, they had two picks in the third round, went with Damian Harris, running back out of Alabama. And we already mentioned they took a quarterback as well. But what do you think about N'Keal Harry going with the Patriots first round? And how much of an impact fantasy-wise do you think he has this season?
Ask me the guest on Bill Belichick. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Right.
Thanks.
Making you earn your money today.
I mean, we know there's a need there, right? There's no doubt there's a need there. All right, you know, Hogan's gone. Gordon, who the hell knows? I don't think he plays. And they got to throw somebody. Gronk's gone as well. So we knew they would take a wide receiver. It was a matter of when and who.
Right.
Right. Which wide receiver would they take here? But so much is going to be asked of him. You know, with Tom Brady. Tom Brady's going to demand a lot, as well they should. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But how much can he pick up to know everything? Wide receiver is not like running back. I mean, running back, really, if you're a drafted running back, young running back, there's pretty much two questions. Can you see the hole and be able to hit it? And can you pick up the blitz? If those two answers are yes, well, guess what? Then you play. You know, it's really that simple. A wide receiver is much more complicated. You need to know the entire route tree and all the routes you got to be able to run. You need to know when you're the hot read, or else Tom Brady is going to hate you because you just got him killed. You know,
right.
All this that goes into it. Obviously, you need to be able to catch the ball. You need to be able to get chemistry with Brady and be where you're supposed to be. You know, and all this other stuff that has to be worked on. Are you going to get enough reps in practice? Or all those reps go to, you know, the throws go to Edelman? You know, that sort of thing. There's so much to ask for here. I think it was a good pick. But fantasy-wise, no, I don't think I'll be all that interested. I mean, even when they had a good wide receivers, outside of Randy Moss, you know, and a slot guy, you know, the Welkers, the Edelmans, you know, what outside wide receivers really paid off in this offense? We just think it might this year because they don't have Gronk anymore, right? So he's got to throw to somebody who doesn't have Gronk. So interesting, but fantasy-wise, I'm probably more interested in maybe keeper leagues or dynasty leagues.
Right. And then when it comes to fantasy with this team, you know, wide receiver I'm going to trust, obviously, is Julian Edelman because he has such a great history with Tom Brady. I'm interested also to see how Austin Seferian Jenkins fits into this offense, too, because you know, he's almost like the perfect, Patriots reclamation project, right? A guy that, was expected to play better, has a good skill set, but just hasn't really reached his full potential. So it will be interesting. And in terms of Damian Harris, just more depth there, right? I mean, Sony Michel is going to be the guy, But you're right. When you try to figure out what the heck Belichick is going to do on a week-to-week basis, I mean, look, Sonny Michel, James White catching balls out of the backfield. You know, Rex Burkhead seems to get a lot of attention down in the red zone. So it will be interesting. But when you look at, like, the history of, you know, all these wide receivers that have gone through the Patriots roster over the years, you know, Chris Hogan, who's gone, and Philip Dorsett. I mean, just the more consistent guy that you trust for fantasy, Julian Edelman, no, obviously.
Yeah, that's the pretty obvious one there. I mean, Edelman is Edelman. PPR leagues, you're taking probably around round three. Yeah. That's where he'll go there. And I don't know how much better years he can have than what he's had in the past.
Right.
No one else to throw to. I mean, yeah, he's not going to catch 200 balls.
Right.
But
right.
Maybe they look for him more in the end zone. Maybe it becomes more of a running team with Sonny Michel and Harris yesterday. So maybe it's that. Mm-hmm. You know, where that.
Yeah.
They have been moving to running the ball more.
Yeah.
They have. Because I think they realize that, you know, hey, Brady's getting up there. We got to protect him somewhat. But I don't think this is going to become the 2000 Ravens where they're going to run the ball left and right and do nothing else. But they don't have a lot of weapons right now on the offensive side of the ball. They don't. Listen, you lose Gronk. You had wide receiver problems before Hogan left. And Hogan wasn't all that great anyway. So, it is what it is at this point. Demaryius Thomas is there now as well. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think he's anything spectacular either. They have names right now. Let's see if these names can perform.
Right, right. Sticking with the AFC East, what did you think about what the Jets did? I mean, Quinnen Williams, can't argue with that. You know, some people think he was the best player in the draft. And for the most part, just shored up their defense. Got an offensive tackle with the third-round pick, 28th overall, Chuma Edoga from USC. Picked up a tight end, Trevon Wesco from West Virginia, number four. But like I said, mostly, defensive guys. I mean, what do you think about this team going forward? When you look at their wide receivers, Robbie Anderson, who I think is a very high-end wide receiver, too, depending on his health, obviously. Quincy Enunwa has been battling health issues, but when he plays, yeah, he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. And then they added Jamison Crowder this offseason. So just give me a quick idea of what you think about what the Jets did and maybe just the fantasy going forward.
Well, I think the Jets played it right. I think they just played it exactly right. The draft, they tried with Quinnen Williams. He tried to trade him. Oh, I tried to trade the pick. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say trade him. Tried to trade the pick. You didn't get the offer you wanted, and you weren't making the trade of, I'll take the best offer I can get. No, you went to see if there was a good offer out there that's something that would make you do the deal. There wasn't. So, hey, you kept them, and you took, I think Williams might be the best player in the draft. He might have very well been. Where if this was where you're just taking the best player and not the quarterback, it might have been him. I think I'd have taken Williams over Bosa, I'll tell you that. Especially when it came out with Bosa and some of the things that on social media that he liked about the white supremacy stuff. I think I would have been an easy choice to quit in Williams then. So I think I'd have gone that direction. With that, as far as their fantasy, I mean, you mentioned Robbie Anderson is a high end number two. Well, then he's yours because he's not a high end number two wide receiver in today's NFL. He's not. I mean,
I like him. I like what he brings you. And when he's healthy, man, I'd have to go back to his stats, but last part of last year, he was like maybe a top five wide receiver in fantasy. So
when you need
maybe
bring,
I overstated it a little bit.
Well, you need to bring in when he's healthy and stuff like that. Well, guess what? Then you got problems. All right, you got problems when you have to have contingencies. We have problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for a high end wide receiver too, a top 15 wide receiver. Yeah, no, thank you. That won't be happening.
Maybe I overstated it, but I like him. Anyway.
I like him too. But he's a number three. He's a number three. Once again, his numbers are solid. They're not fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's never had more than 1,000 yards in a season. And he's been healthy for the most part. 16-16. He's only missed two games in his career. So health hasn't been a problem. Or field issues have been some issues. Maybe staying healthy within games has been an issue. But let's see how his Jets offense develops with Sam Darnold, with Le'Veon Bell. And you got to love that Le'Veon Bell's not coming into the camps they've had.
OTAs?
Already. Just absolutely love that. Way to go, Le'Veon. What was it? Gabe saying that? I forget who was saying on the promos how the Pittsburgh Steelers are just laughing right now. He's your problem now. And there's some truth to that. There is some truth to that. He is sort of your problem now. Signs, gets his gazillion-dollar contract and still not coming. So it tells you something about the player. You would think he'd want to be there with his new teammates, new offense, and all this other crap. But he's not. But Jets are an interesting squad, because they have a lot of development here. What's going to happen? Can Sam Darnold take that next step? Are they going to let him run loose in that next step? And what I mean is with the offense, they're going to let him air it out some. Throw the ball to Anderson. Throw the ball to Anunua. Crowder is there as well. I still have question marks about this receiving core. Not so sure I believe in Crowder at all. Herndon had a decent year for a tight end, but there's some room to work there. Now that you mentioned they drafted there as well. Le'Veon Bell should be fine at running back. You signed T.Y. Montgomery as well. They have a lot of names here. A lot of names. Jets are an interesting team. Defense, I think Williams might be your best player in the draft. He should have gone. And if we didn't go quarterback crazy, maybe he is the number one guy here. You signed C.J. Mosley. The other moves you've made here. The Jets are an interesting team. They're not going to be a terrible team. But it'll all depend. It always goes back to the quarterback. If Darnold develops, if he's a true franchise guy, this could be a good team. If he's a slow developer, an 8-8 season wouldn't shock me, 9-7, something like that. But I don't think the Jets will be a pushover anymore.
What do you think about interesting points you brought up about Bell? Do you think he's a first-round pick coming up in fantasy drafts?
You are asking tough questions today. Do I think he's a first-round pick? Listen, we know running backs are going to go crazy, right? We talked about this a little bit with Cam yesterday. All right, you think Elliott goes, right? Kamara goes. Christian McCaffrey goes. Barkley goes. That's just four running backs off the top of my head. That's Elliott, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. That's his name. All right, David Johnson. I think David Johnson goes. David Johnson, everybody gets on about last year. His last year was fine. He was the number 9 in running backs last year for a bad team. I don't think that's anything negative to worry about here. All right, so anyway, that's 5 players I just named there. I'm looking at any other running backs that might go.
Did you mention Zeke? No, I'm only kidding.
Well, actually, no. I mentioned Elliott. You mentioned Zeke. I'm going to say yes. Running back, it's just too valuable. I mean, think about yourself, Joe. In a 12-team league, you have the 11th pick, 12th pick. Bell's still there. Assuming the other 5 running backs I just named are gone, and they will be, you're probably taking Bell. I mean, maybe you get cute at 12 and 13 and you take Bell at 13. You go, no, I'll take him then. Mm-hmm. But it's the same difference. So I'll say yes. People will take him there.
Well, interesting. Okay. Let's turn our attention to a little fantasy baseball. We'll come back to football a little later on. Maybe talk about the Chiefs. We'll be back with more on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today.